Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A man who shot one person and fired on another yesterday in Fairbanks is in custody. Police say 19-year-old Benjamin James Kamaroff Akaran was arrested around 1 p.m. after a two-hour manhunt that involved city police and Alaska State Troopers, armored vehicles, and a helicopter. They say a man who Akaran fired at ran from an Aurora neighborhood residence and called 911 at about 11 a.m. yesterday, reporting that Akaran had shot a woman. She was transported to the hospital with life-threatening wounds. Akaran was apprehended around 1 p.m. at a residence 5 miles away in the Chena Pump area. He's jailed for attempted murder. A police press release does not say what led to the shooting and asked the public's help as they investigate the case. A Fairbanks North Star Borough-hosted meeting on air quality drew more than 100 people in North Pole last night. As KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, the sometimes tense meeting was intended to gain cooperation in reducing pollution from wood and coal burning, but many used it to criticize the borough's air quality program.
Borough Mayor Carl Castle told an overflow crowd at the North Pole Library Tuesday evening that after 10 years of increasingly bad wintertime air pollution in the Fairbanks North Pole area, the Federal Environmental Protection Agency is putting serious pressure on the borough to clear the air.
And it's going to get even worse if we don't make progress. This is the beginning, not the end of this trail with regulation from the EPA. And they don't have an option either. It's in federal law.
Castle says that's why the borough's begun imposing burn bans that prohibit firing up wood stoves and other so-called solid fuel heating systems. And it's why the borough's mailed nearly 160 citations this winter to residents who ignore or are unaware of the burn bans.
We're not enjoying this any more than you are. But we are trying to work with folks because we do have to get the air cleaned up. It is a problem. It's a health risk. And it's a big issue in this community. We're off the charts for bad air. We're the worst in North America, and we need to make progress.
The area's worst air pollution usually occurs in and around North Pole, and it's where much of the opposition to the borough's air quality program resides. So it didn't take long for some members of the audience to begin hectoring Castle and air quality manager Nick Czarnecki about what they say is an ill-conceived, unfair, and poorly administered program.
We've got a request in for another $4 million to come to town. We're likely to get that.
You're still throwing money. Even if it ain't borough money, you're still throwing money.
We are changing out when we call this show. Can I finish? Thank you.
When Castle and Czarnecki opened up the discussion to questions from the audience, some suggested federal and local regulations should be modified for Alaskan communities. Gary Junk said the borough's regulations don't account for the harshest of the interior's winter conditions.
I know that you folks have a provision for using our stoves to keep our homes warm during power outages. What do you think is going to happen when we have 3 and 4 or 5 weeks of 40 below and colder and ice fog? Mm-hmm. I guarantee you'll make a criminal out of me in my home.
Several in the audience said the sensors the borough uses to monitor air quality are poorly located in areas that skew the readings. Others complained about problems with the borough's administration of the program, such as a citation one resident said he got that included a photograph of someone else's smokestack that was emitting excess particulates. Czarnecki and Castle said the air quality staff is still working out bugs in the program.
As Mayor Castle mentioned, this is a new program, and the enforcement has been stepped up this year as opposed to what's happened in previous years, so there are going to be bumps along the road.
Others in the audience, like Jeannie Olson, emphasize the importance of reducing air pollution because of the health threats it poses.
I support clean air, and I know that the science is sound. I'm a veterinarian, and I'm a scientist before that. I know this stuff is real. But I also think that the method and the process that we've been using with administration and the EPA is flawed for our community. And unless we get community buy-in, we're not going to get there.
Olson said borough officials should make more efforts to reach out to residents through meetings like Tuesdays and one-on-one conversations. And she urged members of the audience to assume some of the responsibilities to help solve the air quality problem.
And so what I'm asking for you guys is to come up with solutions. And we need to form a community group again not to bitch and complain, excuse my French, but to come up with solutions.
Borough officials say they hope to conduct more outreach like Tuesday's town hall in the near future. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
Alaska Governor Bill Walker is asking the federal government to cut back on its plan to expand the state's coastal waters available for oil development. Yesterday, Walker made public a letter he sent to Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke asking that lease sales be limited to the Chukchi and Beaufort Seas and Cook Inlet. Alaska's congressional delegation recently made a similar request. Zinke's offshore leasing proposal originally opened at 90% of federal waters available for oil leasing. That plan has since changed as several states have asked to be excluded. Walker says that plan has created the false impression that the federal government is attempting to develop the entire coast of the state. In his letter, Walker asked Zinke's Interior Department to talk to tribes, native corporations, and others in areas where lease sales have been proposed. Walker says the state has been talking to those stakeholders and heard concerns. Walker also asked that the Interior Department honor longstanding exclusions for Kaktovik and Barrow whaling areas and a 25-mile coastal buffer. Last week's earthquake and tsunami warnings exposed weak spots in Alaska's disaster safety network. Alaska Public Media reports that an unfortunate coincidence impacted the Alaska Earthquake Center at the University of Alaska Fairbanks the morning of the quake.
20 minutes or so before the earthquake occurred, unrelated, Golden Valley Electric Association had a modest regional power outage.
State seismologist and Earthquake Center Director Michael West testified before the U.S. Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee yesterday. West said the outage shut off networking equipment at UAF's Geophysical Institute, where the Earthquake Center is housed.
So essentially, the Alaska Earthquake Center, all of its data and products were dark for about an hour or so. Yeah, not a proud moment, really.
The center collects data from about 130 seismic monitoring stations around the state, what West calls the backbone of earthquake monitoring in Alaska. The Tsunami Warning Center has other stations supplying it information. But if the earthquake had been catastrophic, West says the data outage might have been a problem for responders trying to determine which communities were hardest hit. West told committee chair Lisa Murkowski it was a known vulnerability.
We've been clear with stakeholders for several years now that we do not have backup systems in place. We do not have modern continuity of operations. The reason's fairly simple.
West says state and federal funds have been pared back, and after the hearing referred to the outage earthquake scenario as fairly astounding.
When we develop in-house scenarios to test, you know, this is one of those that people would write off as unrealistic. Let's have a power failure and then an earthquake.
A Golden Valley spokeswoman confirms the power failure was unrelated to the quake and caused by heavy snow falling on a distribution line which cut power to part of the city. I'm Dan Bross.